Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Today is Friday, June 21st, 2013. I'm Ed Ronco with Raven News. More than a dozen tribal organizations from around the country have representatives in Wrangell this week. They're participating in a traditional foods meeting hosted by Search. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver reports.
This is Dungeness crab that's fresh in the shell, and deer meatballs, sweet and sour meatballs. This is deer burger spaghetti, herring eggs. This is king salmon heads that are baked, and then more king salmon, more king salmon, more king salmon.
Ken Hoyt is the coordinator of the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH, traditional foods program in Wrangell. He walks me up and down several long tables set end to end and stacked with food. The room is full of people from all across the country. But they didn't just come for dinner. They've gathered in Wrangell for an annual traditional foods meeting. 17 tribes and tribal organizations participate in a grant program backed by the Centers for Disease Control and the Indian Health Services. The Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association and SEARCH are the Alaskan participants. This is the fifth year of the grant, which helps fund health and wellness programs in each community. Many communities have started gardens. Others focus on reincorporating traditional foods back into everyday diets. Eddie Joe Mitchell is from the Prairie Band of Potawatomi Indians in Kansas. He says that he can see the toll unhealthy eating practices have on many Native communities in the U.S.
With a lot of our people, we eat the modern foods, and that's what our old people told us, that a lot of the sicknesses that we have today are a direct result of the diet that we have. Refined sugars, the enriched flour, they weren't in our diets. And now a lot of our people are overweight, and that contributes to diabetes.
Larry Alonzo is with the U.S. Public Health Service. He's assigned to the Centers for Disease Control with the Native Diabetes Wellness Program. He says that through promoting exercise and healthy eating, each community is combating diabetes and other chronic diseases in its own way.
And that's our hope. You know, the diabetes epidemic did not crop up overnight, and it will not resolve overnight. So the efforts that we're seeing, which is really the intertwining of conceptual of cultural interventions at the foundation of these interventions, that is what we're hoping we're going to see have its bear its effect and bear its fruit over the course of decades.
With the grant funding, Mitchell started community gardens on his reservation, which have grown exponentially in the past 5 years. He says the mentality toward Native foods has also changed over time. When he was younger, the stereotype was that only the poor country kids ate traditional foods. But now, health concerns are changing the way the Potawatomi and others think about the culture of eating.
Well, in my day, I'm 61, so that takes me back to my youth. In those days, we didn't have running water, electricity, computers, telephones. It was a poor reservation, and we had to hunt and fish, pick and shack, have gardens. If you didn't, you didn't eat. And now our economic status is such that we don't have to do those things, but we understand that because of our health that we have to return to our native diet.
The meeting is scheduled to continue through Friday. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
A group of Ketchikan Indian community members is collecting signatures to recall 7 of the 8 KIC tribal council members. The group alleges that the 7 members violated the tribe's constitution when they voted in late May to temporarily appoint the tribal council president Irene Dundas to act as the KIC administrator. They further allege that Dundas acted improperly when she fired the KIC human resources director at the direction of the tribal council. Richard Jackson is one of the main petitioners and has set up a table at the Plaza Mall. There are separate petitions for each of the tribal council members that his group seeks to recall. In addition to Dundas, those members are Gloria Burns, Verna Hudson, Donna Frank, Rob Sanderson, Andre LeCornu, and Norman Areola. Jackson says that when appointing Dundas to act as administrator, the tribal council was acting under the 1979 Constitution. But that constitution was amended earlier this year and prohibits the president from acting as CEO. There appears to be a question about whether the amended constitution had officially gone into effect. Jackson says that the Bureau of Indian Affairs did not send a confirmation letter, but that the review period deadline has long since passed.
And there is a 45-day review period, which I believe was satisfied whether they contact us or not. That means it's final. The Constitution was approved. That's the basis of this petition.
Those seeking the recall will need to gather at least 211 signatures of registered KIC voters who participated in the last election. Jackson says they've collected about 10% of the needed signatures so far, but also that they just got started and that the process is complex.
It's been quite a job getting all the paperwork done correctly, because I'm dealing with the legal terms that their ordinance say and the Constitution say, and I looked at the constitutional vote for the 2012 Constitution, so it's and I looked at their paperwork they sent to the BIA. It's a balance of trying to find out what's true and what isn't, and I believe we have a good cause.
The 8th Tribal Council member, Dolores Churchill, was not present for the vote in question, so the group is not seeking to recall her. A message left at KIC seeking comment from Dundas was not returned. The Alaska Mountain Wilderness Classic kicks off on Sunday. For the past 30 years, racers have trekked through the Alaska wild without any outside support. The most common items available to them on their journey are food and a satellite phone for emergencies. The event has been held on the Kenai Peninsula, the Alaska Range, the Brooks Range, the Wrangell-St. Elias National Park and Preserve, and now, Thompson Pass. Tony Gorman of Station KCHU in Valdez talked with a couple of the participants in this year's race.
Sergeant Kalen King of the Valdez Police Department has never done an adventure race before in his life. He and some other officers began looking at doing some races this summer.
We started off doing it was talk about doing a kayak canoe race down the Yukon. So that was the first thought. We were going there, and then this one popped up, and it was right in town, so we headed that direction next. So
the race he's referring to is the Alaska Mountain Wilderness Classic that begins this weekend. What started as a three-man team, King and fellow Valdez police officer Chris Humate have been doing a lot of cross-training for the event. The race begins at the Blueberry Lake Campground near Thompson Pass and ends at Lakina Bridge near McCarthy. The racers have two route options. There's the Bushwhacker route, where participants can raft down a series of rivers. The course is 120 miles. Shoemate says he and King decided to take this route because of their experience in the Copper River Valley brush.
Reading the reports of the people who ran it last year, if you do the Bushwhacker's route, then the brush is, it's kind of, if you can get through the Bremner brush, then you have a good chance of finishing. But a lot of teams got turned back at the Bremner.
He says they will also be prepared for the high waters of the rivers.
We were originally trying to keep our packs at about 25 pounds. I think now we're going to be looking at 30 pounds due to the, we're going to take dry suits because all the rivers are running so high at the moment from all the nice weather we've been having.
And then there's the longer glacier route where racers have to trek up the Wernicke Glacier and down the Fan Glacier. This course is 170 miles. Fellow participant Greg Mill says Luke Mill designed the course.
He knew that, you know, people have been in those woods before. You know, there's lots of old mining camps and things like that, but he had never heard of really anyone going from that point, Thompson Pass or Valdez or whatever, to McCarthy. There's no trail. There were no, you know, maps of where people had done this before.
This is the second time the Thompson Pass course will be used. During the race's history, a course is run over a three-year period. After that period is up, officials find a different course in order to keep the event challenging for racers. Mills is competing in the event for the third time. His team finished fourth 2 years ago and scratched on its first run on the Thompson Pass McCarthy course last year. For him, completing the course is winning.
Pretty much the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's so much more of it is mental, because you're going as hard as you absolutely can on minimal sleep, minimal food, minimal gear, and you're really just pushing yourself. You sort of get in shape on the trip. There's no real way to prepare for this, and it's just it's your own little adventure.
There are no prizes for winning the event, but racers must finish the course within 7 days. Reporting from Valdez, I'm Tony Gorman.
If you missed any of our stories, you can hear them online, kcaw.org, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Raven Radio. This is KCAW Sitka.